at 1 Corinthians 12. The Word of God says this, beginning at verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols. However, you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all and everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge, according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized in one body, Jews, Greeks, slaves, or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor, and our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty. Which are more presentable parts, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. May God bless His Word this morning. One body, many members. That phrase is taken from verse 12. And it really encapsulates, I think, our philosophy of ministry here at Cordon Baptist Church. It's at least a good start as well concerning our ecclesiology here at Cordon Baptist Church. That fancy word just means what we believe about the church. What is the church and how does the church function? Our doctrine or what we believe the Bible teaches about the church. It's at least a good start to say one body, many members. We're going to look at our, primarily during our members meeting in a moment, we'll walk through our ministry plan. We changed what we call it. Yeah, it's a budget. But we like the word ministry plan better because that really is what is being conveyed when you look at a church's annual budget, you're seeing what matters to them. What priorities do they have? Where you spend God's money says a lot about where your heart is in ministry and your philosophy of ministry. You can look at a church's budget or ministry plan and really discern a whole lot about what do they even think about ministry and church life and body life. And so we'll do some of that in the members meeting in a moment. Today I just want to focus you and take this opportunity to help you think more clearly about discipleship and service in particular. Last week, we reminded ourselves of our mission and our purpose. Our mission is to be a Christian family of disciple-making disciples. Our purpose is to be consumed by the glory of God and the gospel of Christ. When you connect those two, we want to be a Christian family of disciple-making disciples who are consumed by Christ, consumed by God's glory in the gospel of Christ. And last week, we focused on worship. Our church covenant kind of helps us see how we want to live out our mission and purpose. And our church covenant rests on five key spiritual disciplines that we believe from the Bible really are the essential way that every Christian and every church should be living out the purpose and mission God has given us. Worship, disciple, serve, live, pray. Those are five spiritual disciplines, five key words that our covenant rests upon. And last week we focused on worship. This week I want to focus you primarily on disciple and serve. A little bit on the live, pray aspect, but mostly on worship last week, this week, disciple and serve. When you look at a ministry plan or a budget, you're seeing what a church and her leaders say yes to, but you're also seeing what we say no to. That's kind of how it works. Every time you say no, you say yes to something else. Every time you say yes, you say no to something else. And so I hope you'll start to think that way about the matter of the ministry plan or the budget. British Prime Minister, former British Prime Minister Tony Blair once said this, "The art of leadership is not saying yes, it is saying no." I tend to agree with him. And I think we as pastors and as leaders that God has appointed in the church, sometimes out of kindness, it's a good thing that we're kind. Christians are to be kind, but we want to say yes to everything that comes along. And before you know it, you get a church that has lost its focus, and lost its ability to do anything effectively or well because you're trying to do everything. And so I hope you'll think with me from 1 Corinthians 12 on just why we do certain things the way we do here at Cordon Baptist Church and why we don't do certain things and why we think the Bible might encourage us to do it a certain way. We want to do God's work God's way. God's work God's way. We've been on a decade-long journey, maybe more, but at least a decade-long journey to build a true, accountable, disciple-making culture in this church. True, accountable, disciple-making culture. And we seek to do this first and foremost by providing a few, not many, but a few formal discipleship opportunities for you. Opportunities for you to be discipled and to learn to make disciples. Because that's our mission. It's not our mission because I say it is. It's our mission because Jesus said it was. Go make disciples. That's what he said. It's our mission. We don't get to decide what our mission is. Well, I don't think there's any flexibility in that. Jesus didn't say it as a recommendation. This is the mission of the church given to us by our head, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we give you a few formal opportunities to do that. Our staple for discipleship is what most churches call Sunday school, and we call it that sometimes here. Sometimes we call it Sunday morning Bible study. Doesn't matter to me what you call it. It's that 9:30 to 10:30 before we gather here. We have these formal offerings for you. Instead of giving you an array of choices, the pastors here have decided to do about a 3 to 3.5 year long 6-month rotation. So each group will rotate every 6 months into a new class. Right now we have two classes because, quite frankly, the number of people coming, number of adults coming to our Sunday school only requires two classes. If more of you get involved in Sunday school, we'll offer a third class if we need to. But right now we have two classes meeting. Pastor Mike is up here teaching spiritual disciplines. And I am downstairs, even though my group, I haven't actually been personally teaching my group the last few months. I've been working in smaller groups through a book. But the class has been on sanctification, on growing more like Christ, on learning how to pursue holiness together and learning how to help one another as brothers and sisters to pursue Christ-likeness. We have chosen classes that we think every Christian needs to be equipped in these things. If you're going to grow and be vibrant and healthy, the classes we're offering you as adults, we have amazing classes also for children and youth, and we put good teachers in front of those people. We're not a, yeah, you can go teach children. That's not the kind of church we are. Oh, you got a pulse? Get in there. Our teachers to our children are some of our most gifted Bible teachers in this church, and I mean that with my heart. But for the adults, we've given you just a few options that we think these things really matter for your growth as a Christian. And so sanctification, spiritual disciplines. Now, here's the deal. On February 2nd, that's coming up. That's 3 Sundays from now. New rotation. Classes will be finished, and the upstairs class will rotate downstairs to me, and my class will rotate upstairs to Mike. And guess what? That's the perfect opportunity for you who are not in Sunday school to jump in. Flood the place so that we actually have to have a third class. And oddly enough, even as I say that, our sister Tiffany Hall is about to offer a third class for women. So on February 2nd, she will start a class for women in that 6-month rotation. We would love to do it this way because she wants the class to be small, which technically really means first come, first serve. But we'd love for those of you who are not currently committed to Sunday school and you're a woman, if you want to sit under one of the most gifted Bible teachers in our church, I would suggest you get in Tiffany's class and that you do it right away. Because her structure is she needs to keep this thing pretty small. All right, so 6 to 7 maybe. You're probably bum rusher. I realize that. But I would encourage some of you women to get in the rotation and study the Bible with our sister Tiffany. Here's what I want you to know about that Sunday morning discipleship hour called Sunday School. I really believe it's the bread and butter of discipleship in this church. I really believe that. And I really believe you should all, every member of this church, and guests, we would love our guests to start coming. I think you should be in a class. When you, as a Christian and a member of this church, listen carefully. When you make choices to not engage in the opportunities that are given to you, are you listening? Look up here and listen. You hurt your whole church. You don't just hurt your own spiritual growth. You're not just stunting your own spiritual health. Because 1 Corinthians 12 says, one body, many members. And 1 Corinthians 12 says, when one member suffers, the whole body suffers. You never just hurt you with the choices you make as a Christian and as a member of a local church. You are hurting your whole church with the choices and decisions sometimes that you make to not engage in these things. When one member suffers, all suffer together. We need everybody learning how to be a disciple making disciple. Paul says, one member of the body can't say to the other, I don't need that, don't need you. So the last 2 weeks I've been battling shingles. Most of you know that. The last few days have been the worst of it for me, at least. Up front, it wasn't that bad. I thought, oh, there's not much to this. And now for the last 3 days, I feel like I've been on fire. I'm like, okay, that's pretty bad. Yeah. The weirdest thing I was telling some folks back there, I'm sleeping. It gets worse, of course, when you have to sleep on it at night. And so I'm sleeping on my left side because it's my right side that's eaten up with it. And so I sleep mostly on my left side, which is not normal for me. I'm not a side sleeper. In general, I'm a back sleeper, but this thing has caused me to have to lay. And so now other parts of my body are messing up, right? Because I wake up and I feel like I'm just walking in a circle, like nothing's functioning the way it should. You see how this beautiful principle, we get it. I love that the Holy Spirit told us the church is a body, the body of Christ, because we get it. One little thing goes wrong in your body, and it starts to eventually hurt other parts of your body as you compensate. And as you, right, some of you had hip replacement, you know, man, that the other leg gets messed up because you're compensating so much. And we need to believe this about this church, that we have obligations and responsibilities to one another. But I need to move on because we got a lot to do today. Our discipleship strategy also includes small groups. We call them GLGs, Gospel Life Groups. They have a fancy curriculum. It's called Meet and Talk About the Sermon. Make sure we dig into the sermon and understand and know how to apply the sermon together. I think there are three right now, maybe four, but I know of at least three. Pastor Emeritus Jim leads one, I lead one, and Pastor Alex leads one. If you're a guest, it's a great way for you just to go ahead and get to know some people. And so find one of us if you're interested, and we'd love for you to hop in our group. And thank you. Dennis and Cohen lead one as well. So you've got four of us. And then they're over more towards Jeffersonville, Georgetown. So if you're that way, it would make sense maybe for you to get in there. It's great. We have Wednesday evenings, and those will crank back up. They focus mostly on children and youth, but we're going to crank back up adult options for you on February 5th. So the adult Wednesday night studies will crank back up, and we're giving you two options as adults. Dennis is going to be leading, and Megan, his wife, will be leading Financial Peace University, Dave Ramsey curriculum. I wish every member of the church would do this. I mean it. Your stewardship of resources, not just money, but all of the resources God gives you matters greatly to your growth as a Christian. And so Dennis and Megan will lead you through that and teach you how to take care of what God's entrusted to you. And I will be teaching a Resolving Everyday Conflict. It's from the Peacemakers Ministry, if you're familiar with Ken Sandy and his ministry. Nobody here has any everyday conflict, I know. And so I realize that's a totally useless class that I'm offering you, and you've got conflict all figured out, and it's not a part of your life. Of course, I'm being very sarcastic. Of course, we need to learn how to do everyday relationship God's way. And so I trust that these Wednesday night offerings will build continued health into our church. There are a monthly ladies study, and the first Monday, drum roll please. No one gave me a drum roll. Oh yeah, there you go. Awesome. I can always count on some young people. And now we're going to, in February, offer a men's monthly get together. First Monday of every month. So this will be February 3rd, will be the first one. We're going to try it and see how it works at Stevenson's General Store, run by the Galena family, our very own in Leavenworth, 6 a.m. We'll see about how that works for the time. I'm trying to get it early so you men can still go to work. We're Bibles and biscuits. They're going to provide the biscuits. You bring the Bibles, and we will see how this works. My goal is to simply get men together once a month to encourage one another to learn how to be more effective teachers and communicators of a passage of Scripture in their homes, to their coworkers, to your family that is lost. So that a real fancy goal for that is to understand better how to know what a passage means and teach it to a child or a friend who needs Jesus. That's what we're going to be about. That's just once a month. So that's the whole formal discipleship strategy right there. That's it. It's really not that complicated. Sunday mornings, Wednesday nights. If you want some small group stuff, that's typically on Sunday as well. And then once a month, ladies and men getting together. We encourage, but we try not to overstructure more informal discipleship relationships. So we want men to be reading the Bible with other men and studying the Bible and praying together with other men. We want women to be doing that, and many of you are. We call those DMDs, disciple-making disciple groups, but we don't really provide a ton of formal structure for that. We just encourage it. So if you have time and you want to get in the Word with another man in this church, if you're a man, or another woman in this church, if you're a woman, we think that's really, really important for you to build those friendships based on the Word and prayer together. That's discipleship. Where discipleship and service intersect, and where the money kind of put your money where your mouth is. I really believe from 1 Corinthians 12, and I believe our budget shows that we believe this. We believe the vast majority of the most effective discipleship and ministry is done by you just Monday through Saturday. We're not trying to be, we have some formal service opportunities for you, audiovisual team, for example, and things to fellowship team, but most of that is just trying to make sure our Sundays are done effectively. When it comes to service, listen to me, church. 1 Corinthians 12, your pastors believe it. We believe this is the best model for service and ministry, that we simply make sure we employ gifted Bible teaching, loving pastors and staff, that's right now Pastor Alex, myself, and Lori, to equip the saints for the work of ministry. I heard that somewhere once. Ephesians 4:12 says God gives the church pastors to equip the saints. Who's that? That's you, one body, many members, that we pay our pastors and take care of them to equip you for the work of the ministry. We're not trying to be a grocery store church. I just read somewhere that the average grocery has 30,000 items and over 50 varieties of crackers. Can I just get a saltine? We look, there are all kinds of churches doing many wonderful things, but for us, we want you to understand you are the ministers. You are members of Cordon Baptist Church. God says in 1 Corinthians 12, you are the body. You are the ones that are Monday through Saturday caring for widows and orphans, carrying the light of Christ to your neighbors who need Christ, serving the needy, helping the weak, encouraging the faint-hearted, praying with lost souls, lobbying the government for righteousness, voting some of them out of office who aren't righteous, visiting the sick, reading Bibles together in coffee shops, calling or texting a guest who came to our church service. That's happening every day among this church. I'm so thankful for you, church. I just want to encourage you. I'm not trying to beat you up at all. I'm really trying to say, keep it up. You're the ministers. And if we're not equipping you well as pastors and as staff, let us know. How can we better help you do ministry for the glory of God and the gospel of Christ Monday through Saturday, whether it's a mother raising children in the home or whether it's a man trying to lead a coworker to Christ? Tell us if you need more help. And we'll bust our humps, I think, to get you the help you need to do ministry. You, church, are the ministers. Our budget reflects this. 63% of our budget goes to paying pastors and staff. 4% of our budget goes to formal ministries. Those are children, youth, bereavement, benevolence, worship team, and fellowship. 4%. I don't know of another church. I don't go and looking at all these churches, but I don't know of another church that has only 4% of their budget going to formal ministry. Why do we do that? Because of 1 Corinthians 12. At least in part, because of 1 Corinthians 12. It doesn't take formal budget for you to lead a coworker to Christ. It doesn't take a formal budget for you to do the day-to-day, Monday through Saturday, living out loud, being holy and witnessing to others on behalf of Christ. If we try to be the hyper-busy church, doing everything for everybody, if we do that, when will dads have time to come home from work, wrestle with their kids, eat a meal, memorize scripture around the table, and then pray with their kids before they tuck them in? When will moms get to cuddle and pray and laugh and wonder at birds in the trees with their daughters in the parks? And when will you have a chance to cook a meal for a sick neighbor? When will you have an opportunity to show hospitality to a lost coworker? When will you possibly find time to go read scripture with a widow or an orphan? When will you, men, have time to take young men fishing or hunting with you? When will you prayer walk your neighborhood? What, do you get it? If we try to schedule you 4 days out of every week to do something formal with us here, I think it stifles ministry the way God intended it. I think it actually hurts and doesn't help. And so, God, help us say no when we need to say no, and just equip you to go be Christians. That's how Corydon will hear of Jesus. That's how your children will grow up in the faith. Here's what I want you to get from 1 Corinthians 12, and then we need to get into our members' meeting. 1 Corinthians 12 has this amazing principle that I am afraid to say I missed for a long, long time. And here it is. God is incarnated, right, in human flesh in Jesus Christ. That's who Jesus is. He's God incarnate in the flesh. 1 Corinthians 12 says the church is Christ incarnate. Right? We are His body. Now, I know that's a spiritual incarnation through the power of the Holy Spirit who indwells us, but it is no less an incarnation. Verse 12, for just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body. That last phrase, so it is with Christ, you would expect that phrase to be, so it is with the church. That's not what the Holy Spirit said through Paul. So it is with Christ. Verse 27, now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. Christ is still in this world in bodily form, church. I'm looking at Him. Be His hands, be His feet, be His eyes, be His mouth. He is incarnate in this world through you. His ministry's not done. That's why we're still here. That's an exciting truth, isn't it? That we are walking, talking little Christ. A church that gets a hold of that, there's going to be exciting days ahead. We are the body of Jesus Christ. He is still walking and talking on earth through us, through you. So are you doing your part? You think about discipleship and service, are you doing your part? Or are you causing dysfunction and a sense of no health in the body because you're not doing your part? I can't tell you what your part is. I just know you all have one. 1 Corinthians 12 says you do. So how are you doing? One body, many members. God help us. I would love, if we had time and we don't, but I would love to have just all these different groups just to stand up so you could see them in front of you. But we'll be here way too long if I try to do this. But I just wonder, like, maybe it would help you to see sometimes. Like, here's all the kids. Here are all the middle and high school students. Here are all the young adults. Some of them single, some of them married without children. Here are parents who are raising children. Here are the empty nesters and the grandparents in the congregation. Here are the widows and the widowers and the senior citizens, so that you might get a heart for one of them. That if you would just come into this gathering every Sunday saying, God, one person. I want to help one person in this church worship, disciple, serve, live, and pray. How can I help that person? How can I be a part of what you're doing in their life to help them take the next step of faith that God's calling them to take? If every member of this church got that kind of heart and vision, I'm not here for me, I'm here for someone else. I'm here to make sure this body thrives, that mom who needs help gets it, that widow who's lonely gets a visit, and I read the Bible and I pray with her this week. That will change a whole lot in this whole community, I'm convinced. Now, God, help us be one body with many, many members. Help us glorify you, Lord Jesus, our head, our only head. And so guide and lead and direct us, and help us have the courage to follow in Jesus' name. Amen.